Well, fantastic. Today is our baptism Sunday, and we haven't, which is very exciting. And I realized yesterday, looking at the calendar, we haven't had baptism since Easter. And that kind of feels like ages ago to me. I guess it sort of was, April, but which was awesome. But today is a significant day, both for those that are being baptized, especially, of course, but also for us as a church community and family, because it's such a picture of God's redemption, of God's grace. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture, of Bible, on the screen in a moment. If you don't have a Bible, that's cool. You can just look at the screen. And if you don't actually own a Bible, we want to give you one after church, after the service. But on the screen, we're going to look at a passage of scripture in John chapter 4. The team are going to put it on the screen for us. And it's a story of Jesus' interaction with a woman at a well. Jesus is been ministering, he's been traveling, and the Bible says in John 4, John's gospel records that he sat down by the edge of this well just because he was tired. Verse 6 says he was wearied by his long journey. That's Jesus. He sat on the edge of Jacob's well. He sent his disciples into the village to buy food, acai bowls, I think, for it was already afternoon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." Surprised, she said, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" Like, so many cultural kind of rules are being broken right now. And Jesus replies, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you living water." Now, that's not a great pickup line, all right? That's not just a great pickup line. Jesus says, "If you knew who I was, you would actually be asking me. I wouldn't be asking you." And the woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket and this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? And do you really think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself and along with his children and livestock?" So she kind of starts this kind of, us Samaritans, this is how we're getting one up over you Jews. There's already a bit of antagonism going on. And Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again and again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit springing up and flooding you with endless life." And Jesus introduces this concept, which is maybe often referred to if you've been around church before, about living water. That Jesus comes to bring us living water. Now, he wasn't talking about sparkling water, which is pretty much what I live on, okay? But maybe that's a health concern, I'm not sure. There's an empty bottle right there. My house is full of empty bottles like that. It looks like I'm an addict because I am. And now my kids wake up in the morning, first thing, "Can I have a sparkling water with my breakfast?" It's like, who are you? Anyway, a few years ago, I had a flu and I went to the doctor because I didn't have time to rest. I just wanted to get better. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And so I went to the doctor and I said to the doctor, which they must get sick of, like, "I'm sick, I've got a flu, make me better," right? And the doctor kind of asked a few questions. I never enjoy going to the doctor. Has anyone, you sit in a waiting room that there's no windows, you pray the ventilation's working, you're trying to hold your breath because you feel like you're going to catch some deadly disease. There's a child making a coughing noise across the room that you think, seriously, that is like go right now, like quarantine that child, like something is seriously wrong, you know what I mean? And so you go to the doctor, I go in, I'm waiting, then you go through to the little room and you sit there and then he asks me some questions. And after about 5 minutes, he looks across at me and he says, "You need to go home and you need to drink more water." And I was like, surely there has to be better advice than this. Like, is there another doctor I can see? Like, I just spent like an hour of my life waiting to be told to go home and drink water. Like, are you serious? But I discovered that, well, I sort of already knew it, but I was reminded that without water, like, our bodies, we're something like 75% water, our bodies, okay? No, I know you're 100% love, but we're 75% water. And so when we don't drink water, when we don't actually drink what our body needs, things go wrong. In fact, they say a lot of weight gain is due to the fact that we're not drinking enough water, we're dehydrated. So when we don't drink enough water, we become dehydrated. And if you're feeling thirsty right now, you're already dehydrated, okay? That's a sign you're already dehydrated. And there's a whole lot of different medical symptoms and issues that arise when you become dehydrated. You can fatigue, achy joints, all different kinds of things, all sorts of allergies and skin disorders. There's a whole lot of things that are linked to being dehydrated. And the issue is when we get dehydrated, like, so they say with weight gain is what happens is, I'll actually read this because this is a medical concept that I am not an expert in. But when we're dehydrated, cells are depleted of energy, then they have to rely on energy generation from food rather than water. So therefore, we tend to eat more food when in fact we're actually thirsty. Anyone, there you go. Someone just was like, wow, that is life-changing right there. I'm just going to go home right now. That is amazing. I'm going to drink more water. Okay, who's going to drink more water? Okay, so when we're thirsty, we begin to sometimes crave the wrong thing, the thing that is actually going to cause, it's going to add more baggage to our life than what we want, if you know what I'm talking about. And the principle is this, that when we're thirsty, naturally, when we're thirsty, we often reach for a substitute. But do you know that when we're thirsty spiritually, we often reach for a substitute? Because just like what water is to our body, Jesus says he is to our soul. Without water, we will die. We will not survive without water, but without Jesus, we will die. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I am actually the living water, and that unless you come to me, unless you are willing to embrace me and understand me, that you'll constantly be searching for other things. And this woman, we go on to find out, Jesus, there's an interaction with this woman, and he says, go and call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, that's right, you've had five. And imagine that, like prophetic word. It's like, oh, okay, you've had five, and the man you're now with is not your husband. But he actually, Jesus never, in this story, he never condemns this woman. He reveals the true brokenness in her life, but he understands an important truth, and he reveals to her an important truth that without Jesus, we're always searching for a substitute. We're always looking for something to calm and to soothe the brokenness in our own soul. And I've titled this message, The Miracle in the Mess. This month, we're exploring this concept in the moment, about living in the moment. And if there is someone that lives, that sets an example of living in the moment. Now, this is not a series about YOLO, okay? Okay, this isn't just like do whatever you want, okay, YOLO, okay? This is actually about Jesus. So Jesus, you watch Jesus' life, you watch Jesus' interaction with people, nothing was random. Everything was intentional. Even when he's weary and he's sitting beside a well, and we would say, it's time for a rest day. You know, it's time for a recoup day. You know, I'm staying in bed today. I'm having breakfast in bed. I'm just chilling out. Even in those moments, Jesus understood the power of a moment, the power of encounter, the power of a moment with someone. And so this month, we're going to look overall at this concept of living in the moment. But if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do that because it helps me stay focused rather than get distracted. But if you're taking notes, you can title this message, The Miracle in the Mess, because there's some miracles that happen in the middle of this woman's mess. Like this woman's life, Jesus, he's not uncovering the brokenness of her soul to condemn her. He's uncovering the brokenness of her own soul and the mess that she's gotten herself into in order to direct her to the place of life. And that's what God does to us. And I've got, a couple of thoughts around this. See, the thing is that there are some things in life that we shouldn't drink, right? So my sister, I'm one of seven kids. My parents didn't own a TV, maybe, I'm not sure. But they needed some instruction or, I don't know, prayer or something. But there's seven of us. I'm the oldest, so obviously I'm the most blessed. I'm the most loved. I am. I really am. It's awesome. But there's seven of us, and so the second youngest, her name is Grace, right? And I love telling this story because one day I came home, I would have been in high school, and I came home and she was maybe 2 or 3 years old, and she was asleep underneath the couch, not on the couch, under the couch. And I remember coming in and thinking a bit like Moses, like, why is this bush burning but it doesn't burn up? You know, it was like, hang on a second, like there's a couch, there's someone sleeping, but they're under it. You know, it was kind of like, what? And so I said to my mom, I called her, I said, hey, do you know Grace is sleeping under the couch? And she said, oh yeah, oh, she's got a hangover. I said, hang on a sec, this really is a burning bush moment. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what do you mean she's got a hangover? She said, yeah, she's got a hangover. And I'm like, how does she have a hangover? I mean, my home growing up, there was no alcohol. Like, my parents don't drink. There was nothing. I said, how could my 2-year-old sister have a hangover? I've never even had a hangover. You know what I'm saying? And she's there and she says, well, what happened? She got into my room today, and I didn't know, and she drank all my perfumes. Yeah. And she said, I rang the poison center. We were freaking out. And they said, hey, don't freak out. It's not poisonous, but it is extremely alcoholic. And so there she is. Hangover. So there are some things that we shouldn't drink, but it's like when you go shopping and you're hungry, you always end up leaving with way more stuff than what you need. Like, what even the heck is this thing that I bought? I was just so hungry. I bought this like thing. And so when we walk through life and where our soul is depleted, our soul is dehydrated, right? We don't even realize what is going on, but we're adding substitutes. We're drinking things. We're taking things. We're adding things into our life in the hope that that is the thing that is going to bring our soul the satisfaction that it's looking for. And so, you know, the psalmist in Psalm 42, this is a great key for us. David said this. He says, Psalm 42, as the deer longs for streams of water. Do you know if a deer doesn't drink water, it will go blind? So a deer, when it without water, without being hydrated, it will lose its vision, it will lose its strength, it will lose its sense of direction. How true is that of us? That when without Jesus, without God, we don't realize we're blind, but we're blind. And so David says, the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? And I want to talk about the miracle and the mess this morning before we walk out and beautiful sunny day now and we celebrate with those that are being baptized today, because the first miracle that takes place is the fact that Jesus steps into our mess. That's the miracle of the gospel, that Jesus comes to me in the middle of my mess. Jesus came to this woman in the middle of her mess. He wasn't coming to condemn. He wasn't coming to make her feel ashamed, but he was coming. He was drawing near to her in the middle of her mess, in the middle of what was going on, in the middle of things that weren't working out, in the middle of a situation. She's living with somebody else. It's the sixth man, and she's a social outcast. That's why she's going to the well in the middle of the day when nobody else would draw water because it's stinking hot. She's going because she's a misfit. She's an outcast. She's burnt bridges. She's burnt relationships. Her soul is a mess and she's still searching. And Jesus doesn't wait for her to get her life sorted out. He comes to her in the middle of her mess. God is not waiting for you to get things sorted out. God is coming to you right now. God is knocking on the door of your heart. He is simply saying to you, friend, I love you. I care about you. He desperately wants to live in relationship with you. He is not here to condemn. He's here to heal. He's here to bring life. He's here to redeem. And so God doesn't wait for us to get cleaned up. He simply invites us to take a drink. He invites us to come and freely drink. You know, when the Israelites are walking through the wilderness, God told Moses, and they're thirsty, God told Moses to take his staff and to strike a rock. And when Moses, in obedience to God, struck the rock, water began gushing out. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes and explains that that rock is Christ. Look at this scripture. All of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. So Paul's kind of saying, hey, look back in history, guys. That rock, that's a picture, okay, of who Jesus is. Notice the language. It's the rock that travels with them. Friend, God travels with you. He's with you. He's not against you. He's for you. So the first miracle is that God comes to us in our mess. But the second miracle, I think, is that in that my mess, because of Jesus, my mess can become a miracle story. That God doesn't just leave us in our mess, but God comes to redeem. He comes to restore. He comes to heal. He comes to piece things back together again. He comes to restore our identity. Look at this scripture in John 4, 25. The next part of the conversation, Jesus is talking. They get into this. She tries to change the topic. You know when things get awkward? You know, ever been in an awkward conversation and you try and change the topic? Yeah, so what about the rugby last night? Seriously, congratulations, South Africa. Okay, you know, you just try and change the topic to something else that people are just going to, oh yeah, that's right, we're talking about rugby. Okay, and that's what the woman does. Jesus is like, yeah, you've only got, you know, you've five husbands. It's not working out. And she's like, yeah, well, what about worship? You know, she's like changing. What about Darlene Check? Do you think she's still a good worship leader? She's been kind of been a, you know, she just changes the subject, right? And Jesus then brings it back. He brings the conversation back. He says, and he's saying, no, the true worship is those that worship in spirit and truth. There's a heart connection. It's not about where you worship. It's not about where you go to church. It's not about what building you're in. It's not about, you know, what language it's in. It's actually about our heart with God. And then the woman says, this is all so confusing, but I do know that the anointed one is coming, the true Messiah. And when he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. And Jesus said to her, you don't have to wait any longer. The anointed one is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for. Can you imagine the power of that moment when God himself, the same language, by the way, that God uses when Moses is looking at the burning bush and God says, I am. Because Moses says, who should I say is sending me? And God says, I am. My name's I am. He's like, okay, I am. And so Jesus intentionally uses the same language. Can you imagine the power of that moment where she realizes, wait a second, I'm speaking with God. This well in a religious context, in a historical context, was a significant place. It was the place in Genesis 12 where God appeared to Abraham. It was the same place in Genesis 35 where God appeared to Jacob and said, this is the gate of heaven. This is the same place. It was a place she knew that this was a significant place. It was a place where God appeared, not just to anybody, but where God appeared to significant spiritual leaders throughout history. And then this woman has this moment where she realizes that she senses, she has believed for so long that she is a nobody, right? That she is a broken woman. She is just a nobody. And what does Jesus say? He says, I am the one. And guess what? Her name's not even recorded in scripture, but he says, I'm speaking to you. Just like Abraham met me in this place, just like Jacob met me in this place, you're just as valuable to God as all of those people. That our value doesn't change according to our performance or our behavior, according to our past, if we've messed up and we've made mistakes. God actually comes to us and he explains, and Jesus reveals to us that you are so desperately loved by God. And he begins to reveal this woman's true identity, that she is a daughter of God, that she's not a mistake. She's not an accident. She's not an outcast. All of the things that her history and her experience and her behavior have told her about herself becomes erased in one moment as she has an encounter with Jesus and she realizes who she really is in God's eyes. And then guess what? The miracle in the mess is that Jesus invites us to follow him, that he can actually make a miracle out of our mess. That no matter how much you feel like you've messed up, guess what? God can redeem it. God can restore it. Amen. There's broken relationships in your life. If you've made decisions financially, you've made decisions in relationships, you've made decisions in your marriage, if you made decisions growing up and you feel like you made a mistake, you feel like you messed up, you feel like you missed the mark. Welcome to life, friends. That's all of us. But Jesus comes to us and he says, you're not a failure. You're not a mistake. You're not an outcast. You're not good enough. And he comes to restore our true identity. And for those people that are being baptized today, baptism is not salvation. So baptism is not, see, when you pray a prayer and you ask Jesus to come into your life and you surrender your life to him, at that place, when you really truly do that, that's where we're saved. That's the moment where we step into a relationship with God. Baptism is a public declaration of what Jesus has already begun on the inside. And can I just encourage you, that relationship with God is not an event. It's a journey. It is a relationship. It's a relationship. It's not an event. It's a relationship. And I want to share a couple of scriptures about baptism before we walk outside and have a look and celebrate together about what baptism is. First one is Romans chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Okay, so it's saying that baptism is a symbol of what's happening in our heart, that there are dead areas in our heart, in our life, and that those things are being buried with Jesus. Our past is being buried with Jesus. The things we've done wrong, they're being buried with Jesus, and that we're now rising into a new life with Jesus. And guess what? You're a work in progress. Back in the day, you used to log onto a website and it used to say, "under construction." Remember those things? Well, you couldn't view the site because it was under construction. It's like, come back in like 4 weeks and we might have a website. Okay, if you do that now, if you run a business, here's a tip. If you run a business now, okay, this is for free, okay? There's no consulting fees. If you run a business and you have a website where you log on and the entire website is just a little icon with a digging thing and it says under construction, you're now out of business. Okay. All right. That's for free. Okay. But why did I even get to that? I don't even know. Oh yeah. We're under construction. We're under construction. You're under construction. You're a work in progress. But guess what? Jesus loves you too much to leave you the way that you are. Friends, we don't add Jesus as an accessory to our life. That's what baptism is. We're saying when we are baptized, we're saying Jesus isn't just something I'm adding. Coffee, a side bowl, my job, this, bit of Jesus, bit of church on Sunday. That's my life. It's my brand. It's who I am. Check out my Insta. Look at my TikTok. Okay, it's actually, I haven't posted a TikTok yet, but I'm really praying about an idea, okay, to make it awesome for the first one. But if you don't know what TikTok is, you're old. Okay, no, just kidding. I'm just kidding, Jordan, because she was asking what TikTok is. I could see her. Okay. Jordan runs social media for Life Church. So TikTok, we're going to get on it. All right. It's going to be amazing. All right. But stay tuned. Under construction. All right. But Jesus is not an accessory. He's not just something we add in when we're in a crisis. Oh, my back's a bit sore. Let's pray now. You know, it's like, yeah, God wants to heal. God wants to answer those prayers. Of course, he loves us. But he wants way more than just a transactional, you know, deal. Jesus is our whole life. And that's what baptism is. And guess what? You're still a work in progress. And so am I. And God's not finished with you yet. And baptism is a recognition that Jesus, you're not just my savior now, someone who saved me from my past, but you're actually my Lord. And you're someone that I'm going to follow. And I'm living for you. And you're living in me. And that living water that Jesus speaks of, it's now alive in me. And I don't have to go and search for all kinds of things to add to my life to quench the thirst of my soul. I can now live in relationship with God. And I can now retrain my brain. I can now retrain the way I live. And I can now live in relationship with Jesus. And I don't have to search for all kinds of things. But in fact, the God of the universe is now alive on the inside of my heart. And he can bring me life. And he's going to bring life not just to me, but through me into others. And, you know, so this morning with those people that are being baptized, we're celebrating that moment and that significant decision that it is to follow Jesus. And it's a celebration. You know, if I died here, okay, really hope that doesn't happen right now, okay? But if I died here, right? But then Emily came and prayed for me because she's the most spiritual person. She's the most spiritually powerful person in this room. We all know it. Trust me. Live in my house for 5 minutes. You'll know. Okay. She's very, very spiritual. All right. I'm just messing. Okay. But she is. If she came and prayed for me and then I came back from the dead, we would celebrate. Okay, I would celebrate. Maybe you guys wouldn't celebrate. Okay, that's a whole nother thing. All right. This is what we're saying, is that our old life is dead and we're now rising up into a new life where Jesus is now leading us and guiding us and restoring us and healing us and changing us. And guess what? When you drink water, you don't tell the water where to go. You don't say my joints or something. You don't tell it, look at this the sparkling water bottle and say, my eyes need a bit of hydration, okay? Guess what? Your body, God designed your body to know where it needs to go. And guess what? It's the same with Jesus, that when we follow him, guess what? We're no longer in control. And we might say, oh God, I really need help here. This is my biggest issue. And God says, actually, you've got bigger issues. And it's not that, okay? Yeah, it's not that. And so when we give our life to Jesus and we follow him, it's actually a sign that we're surrendering our life to Jesus and we're saying, Jesus, I choose to follow you. And we've actually got baptism packs ready today. For people, there's already a couple of people that are being baptized, but guess what? We've also got some baptism packs today. I should have said this earlier. We've got some baptism packs today. And if you haven't been baptized, but you today, you're like, you know what? I want to make that decision to follow Jesus. We have got baptism packs. You can get baptized today. Don't worry. We've got everything. We've got clean clothes, including pants. Okay, which is good. We've even got underwear. Okay. And guess what? You can keep the underwear. Okay. You can keep it. We've got everything. We've got it all ready. The team, the Next Steps team, it's all ready for you. So if today you're thinking, you know what? I actually don't want to just have Jesus as an accessory, but I actually want to choose. I want to make that decision to follow Jesus and entrust him with my life. In a few moments time, we're going to head outside. The team are going to lead us in some worship, and then we're going to head outside and we've got the pool ready. It's a beautiful 25 degrees. I actually don't know what the temperature is, but it's awesome. But we're gonna celebrate with those people today that are being baptized. If you want to be baptized today, you can during the last song. So when we have when we sing again after the message, you can just head straight out, okay, to Chanel at the Next Steps stand. We'll give you a baptism pack. There'll be time for you to go and get changed in the bathroom, and then we're gonna celebrate and have our baptisms all together. When we baptize people, all we're asking is, do you want to follow Jesus? You know, do you recognize Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you want to follow Jesus? And then we're going to baptize you. And that's a significant moment of saying, God, I believe that you're going to continue to make a miracle out of the mess. That there are still areas in my life that aren't right, that aren't the way you intended them. But I know as I continue to follow you, you're going to make everything beautiful. You're going to restore me into your image, that I am your son or I'm your daughter and I am your child, and you're going to restore me into your image. And the third miracle, as Steph comes, thank you, Stephanie, so subtle. No one would even notice you there, and it's just awesome. Okay. The third miracle is this, that Jesus actually invites us. I actually think this is amazing. Jesus invites us while we're still a work in progress, while we're still under construction. Jesus invites us to invite others. Look at this. The disciples come back. Jesus is talking with this woman. They think, what is going on? No one dares ask Jesus what is going on. They're all freaked out. And in John 4, I think verse 28, sorry, I skipped a scripture. That's a tongue twister. John 4, 28, all at once the woman dropped her water jar and ran off to her village and told everyone, come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. And that was a lot, okay? He could be the anointed one we've been waiting for. Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to go and see Jesus. Now, scripturally, this woman in the New Testament, she is the first person to see an entire city come to faith in Jesus. The miracles that came out of that one invitation are massive. If you continue to read on, you'll see that Jesus began healing, that there was an incredible miracle as the entire city streamed out on the basis of one woman's testimony. She just met Jesus. Friends, she hadn't been to Bible college. She hadn't gone to life group. She hadn't even done Kickstart with Kath. Like that is one, that's amazing, right? She hadn't done any of that. She just had an encounter with Jesus. And in that moment, she knew that God had invited her into a miracle, and it's the miracle of invitation. And that as a church, you know, I believe that we're heading into a season of the miraculous. As we're stepping into this new building, as we're stepping into a new year, friends, I just want to set this up before we go outside. Listen, as we head into a new year, this building that God, I believe God is bringing to us, that God has led us to this place, it's not for us. I know we're going to love it, and the team that don't have to roll the marquee out in the morning, okay? You know, whatever, that's going to be nice. But do you know, we're not getting a building so we don't have to set up a marquee or bring in a coffee cart or carry kids' equipment down to kids every morning. Okay, we're not actually getting a building for those reasons. Do you know why we're believing God and praying for a building? Is because there are people outside of our church community right now that need to know the living water. They need to hear about the man at the well. Come and meet this man at the well. He told me everything I've ever done. I think he's the Messiah. And off the back of her testimony, it wasn't even, it's definitely Jesus. It's the Messiah. It was just like, he told me he's everything. And they could just tell by the way she was speaking that something so dramatic and drastic had changed in her life that they wanted to come and see. And I'm believing for those that are being baptized today. And if you haven't made that decision, you can do it today. You can get baptized. For those that are being baptized, that there's going to be a difference in your life. That when you go back to work on Monday, people are going to say, what is different? And I'm praying that as a church community, God will give us the courage to say, you know what? God's just done something amazing in my life. Why don't you come with me and see what God could do for you? And I believe over these next few months, we're heading into a miracle season. We're going to see amazing testimonies and stories of people that have been invited. Do you know your friends won't come to church by accident? Your friends will come to church as a result of an invitation. I'm looking right there at Tian, who's invited to church as a result of someone else at work just saying, hey, do you want to come and see? Come and see what I go to on a Sunday. Come and see Jesus. And there are people in your world right now, they're just waiting for you to invite them. They're like, man, I wish Emily would invite me to church. Actually, I'm curious. I want to know what's going on. She seems, you know, like something different about that person. Something different about Bree. What is it? And people are just waiting. You'll be amazed at the miracles that will happen on the other side of your invitation. And so can we agree together that over the next few months, that's just going to be invitation season. We're just going to go mental. Just invite, hey, just come and see. Hey, we're moving building. Hey, just come and see. Hey, we meet at Craigslist State High School. It's amazing, all right? Just come and see, all right? You know, we've got the best coffee. Hey, just come and see it. Just come and see what God could do in your life. Can we agree together for that? And before we finish up this morning, I just want to take a moment. We're going to head outside in just a moment. The kids are going to join us. The older kids are going to come and join us. If we can just probably just let them know. Awesome, you're onto it, Jordan. All right, I'm going to pray for people today.